If there were a world record award to give for world's greatest delay of game, it would definitely go to 2020. But even though MLB had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Right now, Indeed is offering listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/SBMLB. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/SBMLB. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through September 30th. Welcome back to A Pod of Their Own. I am Allison McCaig. This is episode 58 of A Pod of Their Own, and I am joined this week by my lovely co-hosts, Linda Surovich. Hi, Linda.
Hey, Allison.
And Kellyanne Healy. Hello, Kellyanne.
Hello, Allison, and hello, Linda.
Hello.
So this week, the Mets rotation is even more in shambles than it was last week, if you can imagine, since the last time we recorded. David Peterson was placed on the injured list. Originally, the Mets kind of thought that he was going to be okay because he and DeGrom both threw a bullpen session this week, and both of them came out of it kind of feeling fine, except David Peterson, they said on the broadcast that David Peterson woke up and felt like his shoulder just felt kind of weird, he said. And so that he doesn't have like a specific injury. They just kind of felt it was, you know, out of an abundance of caution to skip his start. So Corey Oswalt is currently pitching for the Mets right now as we record at 8:30 p.m. on Tuesday evening. I was like, what day is it? Every day is the same. So, that's what's happening right now. Corey Oswalt's back in the rotation.
They backdated Peterson's IL stint, so he should be...
He's in line for Sunday.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Crossing our fingers, we'll see. And DeGrom is supposed to pitch tomorrow, right? Tomorrow?
Yes.
So that's good at least.
I mean, I don't believe anything they say anymore because just yesterday they're like, Peterson is fine.
Yep.
And now literally. Peterson is not fine. And also, if you knew it was a possibility, why were you just throwing Colome out there for no reason?
Yeah. Like, truth. They made Colome eat a bunch of innings yesterday in a game that was it already pretty lopsided in their favor at that point? Yeah. So they kind of wasted him when they could have started him. But Corey Oswalt's doing okay so far. So we'll see. It's like a fine line to walk because obviously I want him to do well because he's on the Mets right now. And I obviously want everybody to do well. And I want the Mets to win this game as I want them to win every game. But at the same time, like, I am nervous that the second he pitches like a little too well, the Mets are going to be like, all right, you're in the rotation permanently now. We're going to kick Steven Matz out of the rotation, which wouldn't necessarily be undeserved, but I'm nervous.
I mean, I guess you'll have to put Matz in now. Like, you're literally out of starters at this point.
Yeah,
the rotation is dead. Long live the rotation.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I'm just nervous that if Peterson comes back on schedule, like on Sunday, and he only misses one start, they're gonna be like, announcement, we're keeping Corey Oswalt in the rotation. Steven Matz, go figure your shit out in the bullpen, which they very well might do. And like I said, it wouldn't necessarily be like undeserved. It's just like you're not getting much of an upgrade.
I feel like there's something. And this is entirely speculation on my part. This is based on no type of evidence whatsoever. I think there's like some sort of underlying injury that I don't think the Mets realize, or maybe even Mets realizes. I don't know. Because this is just, he's just not, he's bad right now. He's just bad.
He's injured is always a possibility. And like usually, you know, Occam's razor, the simplest explanation is always the best, which is, you know, it's probably more likely that Steven Matz is injured, even if, like you said, Kellyanne, he doesn't know it, then he suddenly, like, completely forgot how to pitch, which But it's not entirely unprecedented for Mats, because obviously he has, like, stretches like this. He's had stretches like this in the past where he's had, like, really horrible starts. And then he figures it out for a while, and then he has a bad stretch. He's just never been a consistent pitcher during his time in the big leagues or lived up to his potential. But I feel like so far this has been the longest stretch that we've seen him just be really bad. Really bad. And, like, can't get anyone granted, else bad.
Yeah, but granted, it's coming in a really wacky season.
Exactly.
Just because there was like abbreviated spring training and summer camp, and the season started in the middle of summer versus spring. End of March it was supposed to start. So I like everybody's going to be wonky. I just like have to keep telling myself that. This is just going to be a really weird season from all aspects.
And also, Mats was, last year, he was, like, complete Jekyll and Hyde at home and on the road. Yep. So, I don't know if that still is something to... Plus, he's always been trash in Philly, so it was, like, a perfect storm last week. Like, Philly, on the road, wacky season. So, I was not surprised.
It was not a recipe for him to succeed, no. And, like,
no.
For a pitcher who, you know, is as inconsistent as he is, and, you know, as, how do I put this, like, susceptible to, you know, being rattled, I guess is the best way you could put
it. Volatile?
Yeah, volatile. Like, he lets, like, big innings get away from him because he can never, like, shut the door, and he can never, like, move. He lets, like, big innings get to him, and they kind of, like, carry to the next inning and the next start. So for someone like that, I feel like the change in routine and the inability to ramp up properly is especially, like, you know, it impacts them especially hard, like, disproportionately to other pitchers.
Well, a pitcher like Mats that has, like,
you know, struggles mentally at times.
Yeah, it's weird that him and DeGrom are best friends, because they're, like, polar opposites of each other.
Yeah, they're very different
pitchers. Like, Jake's, like, so cool on the mound, like, okay, that happened, so let's refocus, whereas Mats is just, like, storming around the mound, fuming at, like, every little thing, and...
He lets his anger get the best of him. DeGrom channels that anger. Like, you can see DeGrom get angry, but that's like some intangible, I can't think tonight or pronounce words. So whichever word it is, it's this skill he has where he can channel that anger into something productive.
Yeah.
And like,
and not let it completely get in his head and stay in his head where it runs around and affects later at bats.
Yeah. And Steven Matz has always been this kind of pitcher that, and it's frustrating because Gary Cohen said it during the broadcast when Steven Matz was pitching, was like, he saw him, like, really, like, at first look like he was figuring it out. And, like, he actually had a really good start in the first, like, few innings. And then things just blew up on him again. And he was, like, changing up his pitch usage. Like, it was clear that he was, like, really trying to work on it and trying to figure it out. You could see it in the game. Him trying to, like, you know, switch up what pitches he was using and keep hitters off balance and, like, the type of stuff, like, just trusting his stuff and, like, the type of thing that you like to see. And then it just kind of all fell apart in the end. It's really frustrating to watch because, I like Steven Matz and I really want him to succeed. And I just feel like we've been at this place for him for years now where it's like, when is he finally going to, you know, take it to the next level the way, like, we're obviously not expecting him to be as good as Jacob DeGrom, but I feel like all of the Mets, like Fab Five, I guess you want to call them, from back in the day, like, all of them at some point took it up to the next level and made themselves got to that elite level. How long they lasted there varied. Obviously, DeGrom has lasted there for, like, his whole career up until now. Syndergaard had, like, those two really good seasons where he was elite. Zach Wheeler had that latter half of, you know, 2018. And then, and now he's doing really well on the Phillies, LOL Mets. Yeah, like, that was a big reminder, too, is that, like, Zach Wheeler kicked the Mets' ass. And that was a big reminder of what they could have had instead of what they have right now, which is a rotation that is literally held together by duct tape. So, like, Zach Wheeler took that next step and really elevated his game. Jacob DeGrom did so. Noah Syndergaard did so. Matt Harvey did so for the fleeting time that he did. And, like, Steven Matz, I feel like, never really took that next step that those other guys took. And it's frustrating. I mean, it's not...
I ran a Twitter poll of who was the most disappointing Met so far this year.
I voted Matz in that poll.
Yeah, and Matz ended up winning. So yeah. I guess because Ramos has been awful. Like,
yeah, dreadful.
Just dreadful. Like, not even like looking like a major leaguer. And people still voted Matz over him. So I think maybe the expectation of the expectations with Matz, I think, carried more into that.
Exactly. Well, because like reality thing.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, and Matz is still younger, and I mean, people pretty much know Ramos is slow and has knee issues. I don't understand how he's still a catcher with knee issues. Like, ugh. I guess they're not as bad as advertised. Because, yeah, knee issues are just ugh, I don't like thinking about them. But I think it's maybe an every day versus an every 5 day thing too. And Ramos, we've seen flashes of productivity from him in good spots so far this season. Whereas we haven't really seen anything good out of Matz thus far this season.
His first start was okay.
Yeah,
he got the loss, but it wasn't his fault really.
Yeah.
The Mets had no offense that day, but that was really it. But again, that was at home.
Yep. Yep. And like, yeah, it's definitely an expectations minus reality thing. Like, obviously Wilson Ramos has been massively disappointing, but he's a year older and he was always going to decline, regress. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously we didn't necessarily expect him to regress this much. And hopefully he, you know, bounces back a little bit, one would hope. But like, Matt's like, you know, we expect a lot of him. Like, I'm rooting so hard for him, and I want him to succeed desperately. And it's just, it's so frustrating to see those flashes out of him and him to have come up around. And I think that, like, the pitchers that he's been surrounded by throughout his career, like I mentioned, are part of this expectation game, too. Like, because he's been in the same rotation with DeGrom, Syndergaard, Wheeler, Harvey at different points in his career, like, you always like think of him as part of that group that achieved so much, and you want him to be, you know, part of that conversation when people look back on this era of Mets baseball when all those different pitchers were in the rotation. You want them to talk about Steven Matz as like an equal part of that. But right now he's been kind of overall the most disappointing. Obviously Harvey's career trajectory has been the most, like, you know, upsetting, I guess, or like, you know, he declined. But that wasn't his fault. That was injury. And Matz has had his fair share of injuries, too, which contributes to this. Even if he's not injured right now or has no, like, underlying issues right now, like, the fact that he's dealt with so many injuries, like, that does contribute to not being able to develop the way that a lot of these other guys have been able to develop, is that he's had issue after issue. And that's really held him back, I think, in a lot of ways.
Yeah. So. And also, like, was it his slider that it hurt his elbow to throw with the slider? Yes. So I don't know if there's a fear factor in there that he might get hurt, or if that's in the back of his head, like, it hurts me, because he almost needed a second Tommy John. So I don't know if there is a mental issue there too, where that's just always, maybe he's just scared of getting hurt again. I don't know, because he hasn't really been healthy his entire career. So that has to, you know, weigh on you too, I would think.
Right. And I think it was Tim Britton of The Athletic wrote a piece recently about Steven Matz and how the Mets need him more than ever now. And it's true. And it obviously becomes increasingly true by the day, given the Mets pitching situation. It was already true from day one of this season with Noah Syndergaard going down with Tommy John. The Mets knew they needed Steven Matz to really step up and be like that number two or number three guy. And he hasn't even been that. So, that is a big reason why he's by far, I think, the biggest letdown so far this season. But I don't want this podcast to be all doom and gloom regarding the Mets, even though they've had some frustrating losses, but it hasn't been all bad. There have been, alongside, you know, the disappointments, mainly the rotation being, like, really a problem, which we, who could have possibly foreseen when the Mets didn't re-sign Zach Wheeler that the rotation was going
to
be an
issue. And when Brody said, we have the deepest rotation in baseball.
Yeah, that was like, yeah, we, it was like, you have, like, no pitching depth at all. What are you talking about?
That was the kiss of death. That's the come get us part two. Yep.
Brody, so. Just stop talking.
Yeah, Brody needs to never talk. But alongside that, there have been huge bright spots this season, and I do want to highlight those. I think that the big two so far have been Robinson Cano being an absolute beast. Obviously, he was hurt for a little bit, but he's back now and looks like, you know, he picked up right where he left off, and he's been the Mets' like best hitter, basically, more or less.
When Robbie gets a hold of one, it's so beautiful to watch.
That home run he hit yesterday, holy shit, man. That thing was a dong, a big boy dong. That was wild. They said it was his furthest home run since...
reaction.
They said it was his furthest home run since 2017, right, by StatCast?
Yes. Wild.
So that's a big bright spot. I would say Andrés Giménez is the other major bright spot of this season. Those are my two picks. Dom. There are others. And Dom. Dom's a big one.
Yeah.
Dominic Smith. And
Dom and Alonso's getting back into the groove of things now. He's picking it up, which is good.
Yeah, Pete is looking a lot more like himself, which is great. Obviously, Conforto's been great. Conforto, like, extend right Michael Conforto. He is the most obvious extension candidate on the team.
Commercial. No, it's okay. Linda and I are also like watching this game, and I am behind her right now in transmission.
Yeah, so now we have two competing reactions.
Yes. But just going back to Alonso and Smith for a second, I really like them back to back in the lineup.
Yeah,
it's been good.
It's really, really nice to watch.
Yeah. And Pete's really, like, just one hot stretch away from having normal-looking numbers. He's... Like, when you look at his numbers, you're like, oh, they're actually not so bad. And
yeah,
so
his slash
I think
is
just...
back up to, like, 240, 360, 430 or something like that.
And I think he's second on the team in home runs. So I think it just looked worse than it did. Yes. I think him and Cano are tied for number two. And then Dom, I think, is number one, if I'm remembering correctly.
And then under that, it's like JD and Scoot, right?
Yes.
All right. So Pete Alonso's slash line currently. 241, 359, 448. That's like, I mean, like, it's not the same as last season. But that on base percentage is virtually the same as his 2019 on base percentage. And he really, like Linda said, he's really like a hot streak away from reaching his average in slugging from last season. Like, I mean, slugging, you know, he needs some work. But like, that's really not that bad for a slugging first baseman by any stretch of the imagination. He is a 128 WRC plus.
Like, yes!
Come on.
That's great.
That's like last year also, was 143, which is elite. But, like, come on, guys. Like, 128 is 28 points above average. So, like, that's real good. That's,
yeah,
like, a
like
very
been...
solid above average major league everyday player. So, come on.
Yeah.
So, like, going.
Cause sorry. Because he was swinging at everything. And he was swinging at pitches at the zone. So, it just looked bad. Like, the optics were bad. But he's been getting his hits.
And going back to the home runs before, Dominic Smith has 6, Alonso has 5, Cano has 4, and then JD, Nimmo, and Conforto all have 3.
Good.
And then
is that including today?
It's not probably.
Yeah, it's probably not.
Usually the stats don't update until like early the next morning.
Yes, and I am on BREF, so Baseball Reference, so.
Yeah, so JD probably is 4 now.
Yeah.
And I could probably name all 4, but I won't. And he should have 5 because Rojas didn't challenge in Boston, but whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But yeah, so...
You spent extra dollars for Diggers, Rojas.
I know. Really? Damn.
Come
but
on.
We're
now.
Doing really well in dollars for dingers. I'll get back to this later. But we're over $1,000 now in pledges, which is like really awesome. Woo! So really happy about that, you guys. You guys are great. We also, I'll keep the specifics of the prize a secret because I want people to be surprised. But we did get another prize added to our treasure chest of prizes that we have for dollars for dingers to give away at the end. So most of our prizes, I think this year will be like Mets memorabilia related is all I'll say. But we got a donation from a very lovely and generous Amazing Avenue commenter, which is great. So we have another prize for you guys for dollars for dingers for our drawing, which is awesome. There have been like huge bright spots this season, mostly to do with the lineup and guys stepping in when guys were hurt. You know, Andres Jimenez, like I said, has been so good, and it's like kind of like a smaller version of Pete Alonso last year, where the Mets surprisingly kept him on the roster to start the season when it was not really expected that he would be on the roster to start the season, and he's been great, and they've stuck with him, and he's not going back down ever again, I don't think.
No, I hope not.
That's been great to see, and even Luis Guillorme the Mets infield was banged up has been great. If Luis Guillorme can just do what he's been doing, that is an extremely useful bench player to have around. He's been really great. So that's been awesome to see. And Luis Guillorme, believe it or not, it's funny how long he's been up and down and just around the Mets, that you forget that he's still really young. He's not old by any stretch of the imagination. Luis Guillorme is still really young, so there's room for him to develop, and we've seen it this year.
And can I say how pretty it is to watch him and Jimenez turn a double play?
Yes, it is very
right?
Pretty.
Oh, it's so smooth.
When was the last time we had defense? What was it, 1999?
Feels like never, quite frankly.
Honestly,
it's been
I will not take Ray Ordonez slander or Fonzie slander.
That's true.
Luis Guillorme is still only 25 years old.
Yes.
So, he's basically entering his prime now. I know that we are used to him being around and being the backup infielder a lot because he was drafted at such a young age, as many of these international players are. But that's how people used to forget how young Ahmed Rosario is. He's been around for so many years and we forget that he's how old's Ahmed Rosario?
He's only 20.
Rosario is, hang on. 24.
Yeah, 24.
He's only 24 years old. And Luis Guillorme is only 25. These guys are young. And so it's awesome that Luis Guillorme seems to finally be coming into his own, and Andres Jimenez has hit the ground running. So it made when what seemed catastrophic, half of our, three quarters of our infield going down at once seemed a catastrophic thing, but it ended up to be not so awful in the end because they were able to fill in really competently. And now that we have our guys back, although McNeil should really be on the injured list. The Mets have forced McNeil to come back, as is their MO, and play through this injury.
Why couldn't he just DH?
I don't understand. You have the DH
today.
Now. Use it. I mean, they are using it, but not for McNeil.
Not for McNeil.
Not properly.
I'm wondering how much of it is him being stubborn, too. Because I could totally see him being that intense and saying, I'm going to go out there and play. And I'm going to play second base. And also kind of taking to heart the bad Mets philosophy of playing through injury and rubbing some dirt on it. And just not good.
My theory was he was never healthy this season. And then now you had the perfect opportunity to IL him and fix everything that was maybe not quite right. And they didn't.
Nope. As usual.
And also, they're not losing anything. You're losing defense, but you can put Dom out there and you get to keep Dom's bat. And then you have Guillorme at second and then McNeil DH, and it's fine.
That's the whole thing. This is a wonky season anyway. Everything is just so abnormal between the DH in the National League and no fans in the stands and the season starting late. It's just, it's a shortened season. It's just, it doesn't make sense that you wouldn't IL him.
Well, Tim Britton made the point. He said if this was a regular season, would he be on the IL?
Probably.
But if you have to ask that question, then he should still be on the IL because clearly he's not healthy.
You don't have a lack of options here. It's not like the Mets have no choice. It's not the same thing. It's not the same dire situation as they have in the rotation where, like, if someone can't pitch, they literally don't have anybody else. They have plenty of people.
Yeah.
So I don't understand.
And they have Billy Hamilton, who can play the outfield. So you put him in for defense at the end of the game, and it's fine. You can survive.
Yeah, but the Mets are going to Mets. Their usual shit, and McNeil's not on the IL right now, even though he should be. But other than that, the lineup is pretty good.
Can we say that JD has been good at third?
He's been good at third. He's been very good at third.
Okay.
He's been good, and I think I said this last week, and I because last year when he first started at third base, he just looked bad.
It
was just rough, and I was like, oh my god, just take him off of third base, don't put him there, he's not comfortable there. But he has grown into it nicely.
And I think they said he really worked with Cesarcina, like in the off season or during the break, or he put in the effort, and good for him.
Yes, and it's paying dividends.
Uh huh.
Yep, it shows. It's really he's been great, and great with the bat, and that was arguably Brody Van Wagenen's best move as GM.
Yes,
was acquiring Jamie Davis.
I might have a soft spot in my heart for Brody forever and ever.
Every time you want to hate on Brody, just remember it's because of him that we have your mans.
Yeah, exactly.
And he did
Justin Wilson. I'll give him Justin Wilson.
Yeah, Justin Wilson was a good signing.
And he did sign Jacob DeGrom to a longish term contract.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
And Hughes has been good. Shreve has been fine. So
Jason Shreve being good out of nowhere is very fun.
It is. Like, where did this come from? He looked legit dominant yesterday.
Yes,
that
it was
crazy.
It was fun to watch him yesterday just because it was. The bullpen has been, throughout the starting rotation shambles, they've been
solid.
Not great, but they've been okay, solid. They've been handling it.
Like, of course, last year the bullpen was a legit trash fire, and that's why they didn't make the playoffs. And then this year, that's the only thing that's good.
Yep.
And now nobody else can get it together. Can't we just get all our ducks in a row? Just one time. Just try it.
Nope. Apparently
like,
not.
Like, I get it's a wacky season, so maybe not this year, but maybe next year. Can you try it?
Next year's rotation. I don't want to know what it's going to be, so.
Oh, you're right. Oh, never mind.
Well, I was going to say, depending on new owners, we'll see.
Yeah, speaking of which, there is segue. The last Mets bit of news is that there is, like, an update, like, use the term loosely on update, but there's an update on the Mets ownership situation. Bob Nightingale, which take it with a grain of salt because it's Bob Nightingale, reported that the A-Rod group is now, quote, the favorite to buy the Mets, which is a turn from, because before, like, it pretty much, I think most people said considered Steve Cohen to be the favorite. I don't think it means that Steve Cohen's, like, out of the running by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, there was even reporting. Wasn't there reporting kind of in response to that that Steve Cohen's
not giving up? Yeah, there was a lot of counterpointing saying that no, Cohen is still looked at as the favorite.
Yeah, Tim Healy was reporting that. He said I don't see how Cohen doesn't come out with this.
Yeah. And like, but there were also reports that like, and this might be like, you know, the biggest obstacle standing in Steve Cohen's way, because we all know it's not the money, is like that Jeff Wilpon just doesn't like him, which shock that these two rich assholes don't get along, surprise.
I can't remember who tweeted it, but they're like, oh, funny how all these slander pieces about Cohen are all of a sudden coming out. MO is that?
Yeah. could stand to be a little less transparently an asshole about this. But of course, they can't help themselves. I can't remember
who tweeted it, but yeah, it was so good.
But like, it almost seems like at this point, the Cohen and the A-Rod group are like the only two groups that really get talked about. So it seems like it's kind of between those two.
And I think August 31st is the deadline, right?
It's the deadline to put in bids, yeah.
I think that third group, that's the who is it? Harrison, the one that owns
the Devils and the
Sixers. Yeah, say the 76ers. I was like, I know Sixers is in the name.
Well, 76ers is right.
It's their full name. They're 76ers, and people shorten it to the Sixers.
You guys tell I don't watch any other sports besides baseball.
I'm gonna get you into hockey, Kellyanne. I'm gonna do it.
Okay. I mean, I think it was
as long as you renounce Sidney Crosby.
He's the only player I know.
No.
The only current player I know. I know of the only other like player I know of in hockey history is Wayne Gretzky.
He's been retired for a little while.
I knew he's been retired for a little while, but I'm saying Sidney Crosby is the only current active hockey player that I am aware of. That I know.
That's like when people are like, oh, you like the Mets, like Mike Piazza, right?
Sure. You're right.
Yep.
Technically correct.
But anyway, the point of that is the owners of those two teams.
Yeah.
those guys.
I feel like they're going to be like a sleeper kind of dark horse in this. They're not getting talked about, but they are the only ones with solid ownership, I guess an ownership resume. Granted, it's not in baseball, but they still own two different franchises. I don't know how well run they are, just based on
the comments
I have read, not great, but they're also hands-off-ish. I've gotten a lukewarm impression about them. Not bad, so to speak.
We'll get our weird regional sports network if...
or we get Philly Sports.
If they win out.
Fantastic.
Interesting. Ew. But yeah, so we'll see what happens. More on this story as it develops, but hopefully by the end of the month, Mets will have new owners. That would be pretty cool.
And also, there is everybody freaking out about Jeffy still wanting 5%. It's 5%. No. It's nothing.
Yeah, but that's still, I don't want him. I want him away. I want him away completely.
It's a
vanity thing. He probably wants to say, like, if they win, he gets a ring, and he has no power.
One hopes not.
Yeah, one hopes not.
I assume Steve Cohen at least would let him have right any. Now. Yeah. So,
I don't want the Wilpons near this team in any form anymore.
No, I made this point in Slack. At that point, though, he'll be a billionaire because he just sold the team. So he'll have money.
You know.
No, don't even, because then he could luck into a good investment and then buy it back. There's always that potential. No, I don't.
And he's going to use all his money to pay off his debts anyway.
That's true. Although
I think there was another article that came out that said like how awful their finances were.
Yeah, they're bad.
Yeah, that's not surprising in the slightest.
Although, it was Nick Francona. He said, now, Kellyanne, this might sway you. He said he would find it hilarious that if Jeff stayed on, that he would have to sit in board meetings and listen to how everybody have to like discuss how to unfuck up everything he fucked up.
Yep, that's true.
He has to just sit there and like take it.
As hilarious as that does sound, no, that's not worth it to me. I want him gone. I want him thrown in the Hudson River.
It might bring out his ego a little bit. Like, no. Oh wow, you really done messed up.
Yeah, no, I think at this point, if he doesn't realize it, he's not going to realize it. He's that like kind of self-focused and feels himself blameless or always in the right. And I don't know.
Yeah, rich
I
just want people to demonstrate a like truly shocking lack of self-awareness in all instances. So, But, you know.
But the fact that he has to sell has to give him some clue.
In theory.
In theory. Because it's not really him that's selling. It's his father.
That's true.
And part of the reason they have to sell is because the Katzes, like, literally cannot stand Jeff Wilpon.
And part of the holdup in selling has been Jeff.
Yep.
So he wants to hang on to this team.
Yeah, and he probably cost them, like, billions of dollars, too.
Yeah,
because they could have sold before the pandemic. They did not do that.
Yep.
Oops.
Because he got greedy and wanted to keep SNY, and they wanted the 5-year window, and oops.
And they stepped in their own shit as usual.
Good as job, usual. Nets.
Womp womp.
If there were a world record for world's greatest delay of game, it would definitely go to 2020. But here's the thing. Even if your MLB team got to take a break, your business didn't. And hiring has to keep moving, even when the game stops. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because it connects you to the best candidates fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you payment flexibility and full control over your hiring, so you only pay for what you need. Plus, you can pause your account at any time and there are no long-term contracts. Indeed also gives you powerful tools to make your search easier, like sponsored job posts, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. 73% of online job seekers visit Indeed each month. Maybe that's why over 3 million companies have trusted Indeed to help bring on the important hires that keep your business moving. Right now, Indeed is offering listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/SBMLB. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/SBMLB. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through September 30th.
I remember I used to have a history teacher back at UCLA who said to us that there were times when you could feel the fist of history tightening around you. I've always thought about that. She was talking not long after 9/11, but this is another one of those moments. It is a hinge moment in the American democratic experiment. The entire globe is being battered by the coronavirus. We are dealing with some of our oldest wounds in this country on top of entirely new technologies. Like, it is a crazy time. I'm Ezra Klein, host of the Ezra Klein Show podcast. And what we're trying to do right now is understand our time and try to find some of the ideas that might help us chart a way out of it. In the past few months, we've talked to Ta-Nehisi Coates about why the protests have made him actually hopeful, to Mariana Mazzucato about the ways in which the economics profession has misunderstood the concept and mismeasured the concept of value, to Elizabeth Warren about her plan to combat the coronavirus, to Ross Douthat about whether or not American society has become decadent. These have all been great conversations, and there are so many more. I hope you'll join me every Monday and Thursday to stay informed and maybe get a sense of hope as well. Subscribe to The Ezra Klein Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now.
Moving beyond the Mets to general baseball bullshittery, the big baseball story of this week happened like pretty much just yesterday, which is that Fernando Tatis Jr. Swung 3-0 on a pitch during a game in which the Padres were up by 7 runs and hit a grand slam, and that pissed off all of the red-ass unwritten rules people, and that this turned into, like, a big discourse on Twitter.
Well, pissed off the Rangers, because then they threw at Machado.
Yes, and that is, like, that's the big thing.
That was number one. Yeah.
That's the big thing. It's not just, you know, them talking about how, oh, I didn't like that, which in and of itself is stupid. It's the fact that they, like, you know, baseball players, again, they always do this, like, vigilante justice stuff. And so, like, they felt that there was an unwritten rule they had to, quote, enforce. And so they threw at Manny Machado for no reason other than, you hurt our feelings.
Yeah.
You know what? Pitch better.
The fact that his old manager threw him under the bus, too. What?
Yeah, like, that's the most shocking part of all of this.
That was
a
bad, bad look. I mean, you know, I don't even know where to start with this one because it's so stupid. And honestly, what came to mind have been all of the lopsided games in recent Mets history where, like, The first one, I won't lie, that came to mind was that 23, and I don't even know what the Mets scored in that game. That was the game that Noah Syndergaard got injured pitching. And the Nationals just poured it on and did not let up for 1 second. Okay, and nobody said anything about
that. Oh, what's his name? Rendon had 10 RBIs.
Yeah.
I think he went like 6-for-6 with 10 RBIs that game.
Oh, my God. And just even more recently, the 14, I think it ended up to be 14-6 against the Braves, if I'm remembering correctly, this year. So, you know what? Swinging 3-0, Keith and Ron and Gary were talking about it on the broadcast this evening, and Gary called out Keith, which I really kind of liked, because Keith was like, you don't swing 3-0.
Of course, Keith is going to take the like old school red ass opinion.
But yeah, of course, not shocking.
But Gary called him out on that, because not that long ago, he said, Keith said that you play hard until the end of the game. And I'm really glad Gary called him out on that.
Yeah.
Because they're contradictory opinions. And you want to play as hard as you can until the end of the game. What Tatis did is fine. And to me, you know what? Nicasio should not have loaded up the bases. Be a better pitcher. Rangers manager, get your pitcher out of the game and put someone else in who won't be throwing balls every, I don't know how many he threw in a row, but I think he walked all three batters, if I remember the clip I watched correctly. So it's I have no issue with what Tatis did.
For me, like, seeing VR, like, what he's been doing swinging 3-0 and, like, totally changing the at-bat and screwing up, like, it's more egregious if you swing 3-0 and make an out than hitting a grand slam.
Yes.
Like, and then everybody was like, well, he ignored his coach, he missed a sign, blah, blah, blah. But these guys are competitive. Like, you want them to be competitive. You want them to come through. Like, don't take that away from him.
No lead also, is safe. Every Mets fan should know this.
Exactly. Exactly.
Every Mets fan should know this.
And also what irritated me, and this is more my irrational side of baseball coming out, was that Eric Hosmer went and lectured him after this.
Hosmer, of course.
Said to the Rangers, we'll talk to him. And then goes after his teammate, hits this grand slam, and talks to him about it. And
he didn't do anything wrong. He tried baseball and was successful at it. Literally the point of the game. Christ.
Yes.
So Ronnie during the game said, like, he compared it to other sports. He was like, if LeBron James is playing at Madison Square Garden, do you want him to just, like, stop trying? Like, then he said, like, in hockey, like, if a Ranger all of a sudden got out on a breakaway, do you want him to just, like, skate around the net instead of shooting? Like, they're competitive. They want to score. Mm-hmm. Don't take that away from them. So then Ronnie was saying there's an entertainment value in it. Like, for the folks that were still there, they want to see the grand slam.
Yeah. And
also,
like,
Tatis is an excellent player.
I mean, there was no folks in the stadium, obviously, but the people watching
on TV. Yeah.
Also, yeah. Tatis is a fantastic player.
And he's fun to watch. Let him be fun. Let him be good at baseball and enjoy it. Like, what is wrong with you people?
Well, and I saw somebody retweet something about when Terry Francona was managing Michael Jordan, and I forget what happened. Like, their team was up big, and I think Michael Jordan did something, and Francona had to take him aside and go, oh, we don't do that. And he goes, oh, but in basketball we keep playing. And, like, he was just totally flabbergasted that, like, in baseball, you just stop trying after a while.
Yeah, like to me, that's more disrespectful.
This is why baseball isn't as popular as other sports, because the entertainment, like, and somebody else said, like, it is to other athletes, it is disrespectful that you're going to stop trying after a while. You're just not going to care. And, like Gary said, then why not just have a mercy rule at that point?
Exactly.
Like, you're conceding.
I think Conforto they quoted Conforto on the broadcast not long ago, basically saying what you said, that it's more disrespectful if you're not playing, like, all out like that.
Yeah. Because what you're saying is the message that you're sending, if your idea of respecting the game, quote, is to stop trying if you're up by too many runs, what you're saying is, like, you're taking pity on your opponent and you're not treating them as a competitive equal opponent. And that's disrespectful to me. Like, I don't know, like, maybe I have a different view of what respect is than these old white men do. But, like, I don't know. Like, to me, it's much more disrespectful to stop trying, because then you're saying that your opponent's not even worth your time or your effort.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's nonsense. And, like, I think what was really disappointing to me is, like, not only the fact that he was thrown under the bus by his own manager, but the fact that these are the younger managers, and Jace Tingler and Chris Woodward saying this stuff, that these are, like, the younger, newer generation of managers saying this stuff. This isn't, like, you know, this isn't, like, Bobby Cox or, like, these managers that have been in the game for, like, 50 years saying this stuff. And, you know, we've said this on the podcast before, but it's not just the fact that the younger, exciting players are always treated this way. This is always, always racially coded. And in this case, it's no exception. The fact that Chris Woodward said, "I was raised in the game," those are purposefully chosen words to make it seem like Fernando Tatis just doesn't know how the game of baseball is played, when his dad and was literally a baseball player
himself. Like, come on now. Well, really?
And also they said maybe his dad shouldn't have hit 2 grand slams in 1 inning then.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like,
like, well, you already hit one. Why are you bothering to hit another one, greedy?
Like, why are you acting like this guy who was also raised in the game when his dad was literally a professional baseball player? Like, why are you acting like he doesn't know how the game should be played? Like, you are such an asshole.
And I think it was Mark Carrig who tweeted, "But if he had hit a grounder and didn't run it out, he would be accused of not hustling and playing the game the right way." So
he totally would.
He can't win. He can't win.
Can't win. Especially when you're a Latin player. Can't win. Like, this is the way it always is. This is the way it always is. Like, these, like, the young, exciting, expressive players, like, being, you know, tone policed by these, like, curmudgeon-y white men. It's the worst. I hate it. It's like this is like the worst, like, grossest side of baseball to me, is this unwritten rule stuff. Ooh. It's the worst. And it's like you said, Linda, it's why baseball is not as popular as other sports.
Yeah, like, you wonder why it's not as popular. No. And also, I have to say, like, because this literally just happened, because the coach of the Flyers used to be the coach of the Rangers, and he makes my blood boil. Don't get me started. But his team was getting blown out in the playoffs, and his opponent put out their top line on the power play because it's the playoffs and they still want to win. So, of course, he got angry at the game. Like, oh, they were already up 5-0. Why are you putting your best players out? Like,
play better then.
That's what they were saying. Like, play better. And it's also the playoffs. They can't take chances. They can't just put, like, their random guys out and be like, all right, we got this one. Then, you know, 2 minutes later, you can have a couple goals scored on you. Like, and also, so the same thing. Like, this is the 60-game season. You can't take chances with the short season.
Not at all. Ooh.
Yeah, yes, you got it.
Yes!
Yay!
Here's what happened. I heard you make the noise. I heard mother upstairs yelling. I'm like, oh, something happened. Did he get hit by a pitch? But no, he hit a home run.
I saw the score update on my phone, but I didn't say anything.
Okay, so it's 23 for Dollars for Dingers.
107.8 miles per hour.
Number 23 for Dollars for Dingers, live on the pod. Also, I'm pretty sure that one of our pledges, if I'm not mistaken, has extra money for Ahmed Rosario Dingers. Oh, so
yes.
I think it might be Dave.
Because I have JD Davis, so that's double tonight then. One for me and one for
Yeah, I added that into the spreadsheet.
Nice.
So we do have a, I forget who it is, but someone definitely for sure pledged more money for Ahmed Rosario Dingers, so that person has to
pay. It was a big boy home run too. Like, it was.
Hell yeah. No, love to
anything in Marlins Park is a big boy home run, just because that park is so deep.
Yeah, that park is big. It's cavernous.
Well, they did bring in the fences, I think they said today.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I think they said Dom's. Somebody's yesterday wouldn't have been a home run last year.
Oh,
it might have been Dom.
They redid because they took out the sculpture and then they also moved the fences in at the same
time. Yes. And put in that cruise ship thing in right field.
Yeah.
I don't know, whatever that is.
Yeah, they did stuff to the stadium. But
yeah.
But I think the thing that pisses me off the most about all of this, and I made a tweet to this effect, is like the fact that Fernando Tatis Jr. was made to apologize for something that he shouldn't ever have to apologize for, and he gave a more sincere apology about it than anybody involved with the Astros ever did for actually cheating.
Yep.
Like, that is the shit that's disrespectful of the game, is out and out cheating, and the Astros basically got punished less in the court of, like, baseball, we'll call it baseball public opinion, not general public opinion, because I think that if we, like, polled the fans and the general public opinion, there would be more ire at the Astros than at Fernando Tatis or whomever else is the target of the unwritten rules crowd. But baseball, inside baseball, is overwhelmingly unwritten rules people, and for some reason, plays like what Fernando Tatis did have much more the target of their ire than actual fucking cheating.
Are you kidding me? We're seeing that still this year, even with how this is the vigilante justice coming in a little bit, except it's not really, because the Astros were never punished, but the players are kind of taking it into their own hands, and anything they do against the Astros, they're getting punished for. Like with the Joe Kelly suspension and who else? I feel like there was something else recently. Oh, Laureano. That's what I'm. Was it Laureano? Yeah, it was Laureano. That entire.
Well, it was also frustrating.
It's frustrating to see the Astros suffer very few consequences, other than I would say that Astros first base coach, or was it hitting coach? The Astros hitting coach getting punished for 20 games.
Yeah.
There has not been any consequences for their actions, which are despicable.
It was nice to see, at least on Twitter, that a lot of players came to Tatis's defense. Yeah. And a lot of them were pitchers.
Yeah.
So it seems at least the tone within the game itself and the actual players on the field.
Yeah, like more and more players are being outspoken on Twitter about this. Like, I know Amir Garrett said something. I know that, oh my God, why am I I know Tim Anderson said something. I know Trevor Plouffe said something. Like, a lot of players.
Jameson Taillon did.
Yeah, yeah. Like, basically, like, and saying, like, really good stuff. Like, keep eating you. Like, keep shining.
Yeah.
Like, don't ever apologize. Keep swinging.
Oh, who was it that said, don't let them bully you? That was, somebody said that. And I was like, that's like, it is kind of a brotherhood. Like, they know how hard it is. Like, Dom Smith today said, hitting is hard.
Yeah. It is really hard. And he's really good at it.
Yeah, like, he still has to hit the home run when he swings. It's not like he was, it's no guarantee that he was going to hit a grand slam when he swings. He's just really good.
Yep. And it's just, like, it's so, like, it's so indicative not only of MLB and, like, the people within it, like, their warped idea of what respect is about, but it's just so indicative of, like, their total ignorance on how to market their sport and how they, see all of this happening and think pace of play is the problem. Like, no, it's the fact that you don't market your stars. In fact, you actively work against doing that by suppressing them, like, this way.
Oh, Steven Souza Jr., if you get mad at me swinging 3-0, you better throw me an automatic ball when it's 0-2 and you're up. I spit on three pitches. It's my choice to swing or not. Don't tell me when I can swing because you can't throw strikes.
Yeah.
Let anyone bully you like that.
Preach. That's
the point. Why aren't you lobbing pitches up there when you're up? If you're a pitcher and you're up 10-0, why aren't you throwing meatballs?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Ugh.
It's just so frustrating. Yeah, we want to grow the game and make it more popular, but all the fun things we're going to actively campaign against. They're not allowed. Yeah, like, we hate
They're
fun.
They're not allowed.
baseball, watch our sport. We hate fun. It's like, that's never going to work.
Oh my God, SMY just had the best tweet considering everything we're like. Ahmed flipped the bat.
Yes, so, he did. It was a very nice bat. It was like a very, it was a small bat flip, but it was a nice bat flip.
It's there. And so SNY tweeted him flipping the bat, and SNY put old man baseball Twitter probably fuming right now.
Yes! We love to see it.
Hashtag let the kids play.
Yes, we love to see it. Yeah, like the absolute audacity of MLB to like do those let the kids play commercials and then like act a fool whenever like people actually do that is absurd. And I will say,
Garrett had a good saying. Oh, I need to find it.
I will say, I was pretty disappointed with Luis Rojas because he
won't make waves.
He made a very like bland quote about this instead of like he could have had an opportunity to like stick up for players like Tatis Jr., but instead he was like, I was raised in the game in the traditional way where those unwritten rules were always respected, but at the same time, I understand both parts, both opinions. So he, like, basically both sides to the thing, which I guess is, like, a very politician-y answer, but it's still kind of like, come on, you can, like, say what you think.
Yeah, but he's also got other things to worry about right now, too.
Yeah,
I was going to say, he had still other things on his mind. Okay, I found Amir Garrett. This is awesome. Listen, if you want to watch the game with unwritten rules, go watch YouTube of baseball in the 80s. This is the new school. Baseball is fun again. Get with it or get lost.
Amazing. Amir Garrett is amazing.
I mean, a lot of these things that they're complaining about now, they did when they were playing the game. And worse. Ugh.
Yep.
Like the takeout slide. That's one of the ones that, now I'm going off on a tangent here, was one of the things, like, I think a lot of players from the 80s are like, oh no, you always go and take out hard, when like a number of videos that I've seen when a player tries to take out the second baseman, a brawl always started. Like,
somebody pointed out that Chris Woodward was the manager of the team that let a ball drop so his pitcher could get a second chance at a strikeout. And the Red Sox were mad about that. Like, because they were like, oh, you're not playing the game the right way. So he's wanted to talk. Like, he defended his team. Like, no, we wanted him to reach a milestone. Well, what if Tatis wants to reach a milestone? What if that, like, puts him, like, what if he breaks a record or something? Probably not, because it's a weird season. But you don't know.
Well, that's what they said. He surpassed Mike Trout this season for the most home runs in MLB. So he did get a record for the season so far.
So you can pick and choose who gets a record and who doesn't?
Yeah, exactly. It's so incredibly critical. It's so frustrating.
It seems like there's these at least two factions in baseball, one of whom seem to have a little more of the power and influence right now and want to keep things quote unquote old school, and another faction who wants to bring baseball into the future and is thinking about the health and long-term care and popularity of the sport itself. And it's clear that those two sides are clashing pretty hard right now. And especially in a season like this, I think it's going to be pretty apparent as well.
Yep. 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 On this podcast, we're pro bat flips. We're pro swinging 3-0. We're pro fun. We're pro fun. We're pro Fernando Tatis Jr. being himself.
Fun is good. Yeah,
we like dingers. I'm typically a fastball over the long ball, but you know what? I like Tatis dingers.
Yeah, samesies. I will agree with that. I actually prefer pitchers duels to slugfest, just as like preference as far as like style. But that doesn't mean I do not enjoy dingers. I like dingers very much.
So much so that you have a fundraiser. We have a fundraiser named
Dingers.
Exactly. So much that we have dollars for Dingers, which makes us like Dingers even more than usual, because every Dinger the Mets hit in August is money for local food banks. So if you haven't already, it's absolutely not too late. On our Twitter, on our pinned tweet, we have the info for how to make a pledge. So if you haven't already, please, please, please make a pledge for Dollars for Dingers. Our official total as of right now, I just calculated it with the Ahmed Rosario home run plus bonuses. We are up to 1,000 $131.10 for local food banks, which is amazing. Woo-hoo! So nice. Keep up the great work, you guys. Anybody who donates, who pledges in any amount, is entered to win a drawing to win many of our fantastic prizes. Like I said, we got a donation of another prize just this past week, so we have more prizes lined up for you guys, and we'll have a big drawing event, a virtual event for all of you. So please, please, please put your pledges in before the end of the month. That would be awesome. So keep it up, you guys. We're doing such a great job. I'm so proud of everyone. This has been awesome so far. So keep hitting dingers, Mets. We love.
Yeah, I was gonna say thank you to the Mets for finally hitting dingers.
Yeah, I feel like their bats warmed up right when we started Dollars for Dingers, which is really good timing.
Yeah, our total was looking pretty sad for a little while, but they beat it up. So thank you, Mets.
Thank you, Mets. So yeah, with that, we will end the podcast like we always do with walk-off wins, where each of us talks about what's making us happy this week, baseball related or otherwise. Kellyanne Healy, what is your walk-off win for this week?
Mine's not baseball related again. That's 2 weeks in a row now. I think commenters, if you comment in our comment section on Amazing Avenue, you know that I am a librarian. And today I did a program focusing on teaching kindergartners about social studies and voting. And they're sending me back their ballots. I had to vote on whether they preferred chocolate or lollipops, but kind of teaching them about civic engagement and voting and seeing them respond really well to that and get the concept is making me very happy. And that's my walk-off win. That's my non-baseball walk-off win. My baseball walk-off win is yet to happen, and that's to see Jacob DeGrom pitch tomorrow. So hopefully fruition.
Hopefully it happens. But yeah, getting them involved in the idea of civic engagement really young is really important. So that's great, Kellyanne.
Yes. I may or may not have been buying quite a few books about voting, like picture books about voting.
Yes.
How to be a citizen, all
what
that good stuff.
What Citizen Do, Dave Eggers?
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw out a book recommendation there. I love that book.
So I've been trying to do my duty too, is to teach the children.
Yes. And they get really into it.
Yeah. That's great.
Kids enjoy having their voice actually heard because it's
they do.
Yes, they do. Because so often it's kind of like brushed to the side and not considered.
Yep. And so I feel like
And they have opinions.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
And they enjoy being listened to, so that's always good.
Yes.
Linda Servich, what is your walk-off win for this week?
Well, my walk-off win, and I know I've talked about this a lot, but I feel like I'm finally getting settled. Like, I haven't moved yet, but I finally picked out my colors for my co-op. I picked out my carpet. I picked out my floor. So, like, every time I go over there now, like, because I have to, you know, meet with the workers and stuff, and so... like, it's starting to feel like home. Like, every time I walk in, I'm like, this is my house now. Like, it just kind of blows me away. Like, I just have to write the check and ignore the money aspect. But when they gave me the bill, it's like, oh, man, okay.
It's money that you worked, you earned, and now you're paying. Oh, my God. It's going to be your space. It's your space.
So I am. I'm finally starting to like get excited about it, and like this is my space. This is my porch. This is my living room. Like, I'm like, wow, it's really mine now.
I'm so like ridiculously excited for you, Linda.
I know. I'm like really excited. Like, but I'm trying not to get frustrated because like I closed, but then we have the storm, so then everything got backed up. So it's been another hassle of trying to find people to actually come in and do the work. So like, it just feels like there's just been one like backup after the other, but it's getting there slowly but surely. It's getting there. And so, yeah, I met with a painter yesterday. I met with the carpet guy today. And so hopefully, and then I'm away, I'm on vacation for a week. So I'm going to say hopefully by the first week in September, I'll be on vacation that week. The second week in September, hopefully I'll be in, and I'm excited. So I'm kind of excited about the colors I picked out and like just discovering things about, I mean, it's empty now, but like like, oh, these drawers pull out, like, how cool. And planning, like, oh, I could put a lamp there, and I got my table. So it's just little things like that. So
decorating is the fun part.
Envisioning your space the way you want it.
Yes. So, again, making it your own. So, I do like going over there. I'm like, oh, this is home. So, that's my off win. Maybe I'll, like, I'm going to take before and after pictures. So, I am excited when everything's all done to see that. So, we're moving along. And I'm at peace with the money. I'm happy.
That's awesome. I'm so excited for you.
It's an investment for yourself.
Yeah, at the closing, the sellers were like, just think of it as like a bank account that you can't touch for a few years. And I'm like, wow, that's a good way to think about it.
That's a way to think about it. Or it's one of the ultimate treat yourselves. I don't know if you've watched Parks and Recreation.
I know the GIF.
Okay.
That's what I'm familiar with, is the GIF.
you're going to get me into hockey, I'm going to get you into Parks and Rec.
Okay.
So.
All right. You have a deal. I'm going to call Verizon soon. So if I have nothing else, at least I'll have Wi-Fi.
There you go. Yeah, that was like the last thing to fall into place at our apartment. It was like, everything's moved in. We don't have the internet.
Oh, no. What do we do?
Yeah, but we have it now.
Well, I can't imagine doing that. Like I said, you walk in, you're like, there's literally nothing for me to do here.
Yep. It was a time. I used all my, like, hotspot for my phone for the month during that time. But it was
no.
So I feel like I haven't done a baseball walk-off win in a while, so I'm going to do one this week. And we already kind of mentioned it, but I'm going to mention it again just because it's making me absurdly happy, is that, like, Robinson Cano just having a good year makes me really happy.
Yes!
And that's my walk-off
Robbie!
Win.
Robbie!
Is... Watching Robinson Cano hit, like, majestic, beautiful dingers is, like, such a good, like, baseball experience. And I feel like
And he's currently up. Can you keep talking? Maybe you'll, like...
Maybe I'll, like, will it into existence. But, yes. But, like, I just feel like the Mets have, in Robinson Cano and Michael Conforto, two of the sweetest left-handed swings in all of baseball. And just watching that on a daily basis is really nice. And I really enjoy it. And that's, like, all I have to say about that. I just, like... really love watching Robinson Cano play.
Oh, no, he's 0-3 tonight. He's
don't hit Michael Conforto. No, speaking of Michael Conforto, he just got whacked in the back. Ooh. Oh, no.
After getting hit on the butt yesterday. Poor Michael.
Got a couple of bruises to deal with. But yeah, I'm just really happy that Robinson Cano is hitting and playing well, and it's great
and
to
Allison,
see.
And Allison, I loved your tweet, like the Kelenic, like,
yeah,
prospect
like,
huggers, take a seat.
I think, isn't he? I think he's...
Oh, Robbie!
Sorry. Yeah! I think Cano is like, he's closing, he won't get it this season, but I think he's like 44 home runs away from some record. I'm not sure which one. I was running through the comments this morning on AA really, really quickly. But yeah, so him hitting dingers and getting closer to that record is also very exciting. Whatever record it may be. I can't remember. I should go look it up. Let me see. Let me go find this right now.
Well, he's got to be close to what? Like, he's got to have 400, I would think.
Yeah, he did. On the Mets, he hit 400.
Yeah. So, they walked Pete.
I thought he did while he was on the Mets. Hit his 400th home run.
Yes, I think you're right.
Come on, where are you?
He hit his 300th homer in 2017. So how many?
Breaking the home run record by second baseman. And I guess that's in all of Major League Baseball.
Oh.
I think, maybe. Breaking the home run record by second baseman. It doesn't specify Mets. Second baseman.
I would assume all
no,
of
I'm
baseball.
Assuming it's all of baseball. So he's 44 shy of that record.
Oh, no. He doesn't have 400 home runs yet. What did he do on the Mets?
I thought he hit something.
I thought he reached a milestone while he was on the Mets.
I did, too.
Okay, hang on. Let me look at... see what's going on
Because he has 328 career home runs.
It's a replacement of the run scored.
So was it 300?
No, he hit 300 in, like, 2017.
This is...
Because remember, he was suspended for part of, like, 2018, so that's why he didn't have that many. Runs.
Yeah. And also, I think he's a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
Assist... Well, he's... Let's see. Active bases, doubles. He's...
Oh, I think he reached 2,000 hits on the Mets or something. Like, it was a hits thing. It was maybe 2,000 or 2,500. It was 2,500 hits.
2,500 because he's at 2,591 right now.
Yeah, but it was 2,500 hits is what I think he reached on the Mets. Yes.
Yeah. So he's definitely a Hall of Famer. PEDs be damned.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I think the PEDs might be a problem for his Hall of Fame case. But
we'll I don't know.
We shall see.
We shall see. Yeah. Indeed, but for the time being, just watching him be good is my walk-off win, and it's great. And I love Robinson Cano.
And can we say he has, like, the nicest smile on the Mets? Oh, like,
yeah. Really good smile.
Yeah, happy Robbie is happy everybody.
Preach. Preach.
Okay, the bases are loaded and Dom Smith is up, and Linda I know is ahead of me, so she probably knows what happens, and I heard him make a sound. Yay! I'm like waiting in anticipation.
I'm sipping it.
Oh my god, I'm so nervous for what's gonna happen.
I feel like I can't close like really the pot out until we know.
Until we know. That's gonna be the oh my god.
Is that a spoiler? I don't know.
Okay, it's 2-0. I don't know what pitch he hit when he whatever
you're behind
happens.
Us too, I think.
Yeah, I'm way behind because I'm watching on NBC Sports right now.
Oh yeah, you're definitely behind. Like way behind.
Because I think I don't actually know what happened, but I think I just heard the TV. I heard the TV go to commercial. So either he made an out.
Yes, it's at commercial. I will confirm it's at commercial.
Either he made an out or they took.
But like
out.
We're way ahead right now, so oh god, do not hit into a double play. Oh, yay, he walked in a run!
Cool. Yay, so we'll end the show on a happy note while the Mets are still winning. May not actually win in the end, but we'll see. So on that note, we will end the show. But in the meantime, while you're waiting for the next A Pod of Their Own to hit your feeds next week, you can go to AmazingAvenue.com, check out all of our fantastic content. We have game recaps for you guys. We also have analysis pieces about various players being off to a good start so far. I know Chris McShane wrote a piece about how the Mets should extend Michael Conforto. Obviously, I agree with that. And so, yeah, we have all of your Mets news, all of the various roster transactions, which are a lot these days. We've got it all covered for you guys. You can follow Amazing Avenue on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Amazing Avenue. You can subscribe to the podcast. You can subscribe to all of our fantastic podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Search Amazing Avenue Audio, get all of our fantastic suite of pods. You can follow the show on Twitter at A Pod of Their Own. You can follow me and Linda on Twitter. I am at Petit PhD. Where are you, Linda?
At Linda Cervich.
And you can find Kellyanne manning the comments at AmazingAvenue.com.
until the comment section. They're very punny.
Until we peer pressure her to reactivate her Twitter, which she will never do.
Not at least not until the end of this year, depending on certain events.
Certain events. That is a very certain diplomatic way to put that.
Yeah. That is.
Yes. I'm not going to get political on this show.
But yeah. Rate and review the podcast on whatever your podcast listening app of choice is. It really helps people find the show. The intro and outro music to this podcast is by Bunga. Let's go Mets. And don't forget, there is no crying in podcasting. Dollars for Dingers. See you next week.